What's up, y'all, and welcome into the Jack Vita and Brooke Strux Show.
Hey, everyone.
We're back to break down the 9th episode of Deal or No Deal Island. Brooke, it's crunch time.
Yes. And are you ruthless, Jack? That's the question.
I'm glad you wrote it down this week because I probably would have forgotten again.
Yeah, no, I have to write it down or I forget. So they're too similar. So
they are. That's a lot of the same question each week. And I think at the end of the day, it's like, do you have what it takes to win Deal or No Deal Island or take a lot of money from the banker? Or in Nick's case, take a lot of money from the banker and not get to keep any of it.
Yes. Oh, I know. It was tragic. Like, it was so sad. And it was like finally getting to see Nick and who he was, like more of him. And then he's gone. So.
Yeah. So we've got a lot to break down today. We're going to sink our teeth into this episode. First things first, we've got an exciting week here on the Jack Vita Show. So this time around, the recap is dropping before the exit interview. So that this is out on Tuesday, exit interview is out on Wednesday, and Thursday, Deal or No Deal Island Insiders with Miranda, and joining us this week will be Amy, one of the Night Owls.
Ooh, so that's exciting.
Be fun to get her perspective. I think she has a lot that she would like to say. I think it'll be somewhat similar to talking with Stephanie a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. So if you guys don't want to miss that, make sure you subscribe to the Jack Vita Show here on YouTube or wherever it is that you get your podcast. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the podcast platforms. Brooke, where do we begin with this episode? What's the first takeaway?
Let's talk teams. And so we see Jordan finally talking to the Night Owls. So that was an interesting, like, you know, because we've been wondering, where does Jordan fall in all this? And she's got one foot in each team, and it's working for her. You know, I mean, she kind of went along more with the Night Owls, and it was interesting to hear her perspective on, hey, you know, they're kind of talking smack and she's not really into that, but she better not say anything or then you get a target. So yeah, it was just interesting to hear like kind of an outsider perspective on the Night Owls.
Yeah, so Jordan, this is similar to how I think I would play on one of these shows. I want to be friends with everybody. I don't want to have to make any decisions to tick people off. I'm going to wait and hold out on that until as long as possible. And I think you get to this point in the game where you are going to have to pick a side. You are going to have to do something. So Jordan gets the like bid to join the sorority, and it's like... what's funny is, and we'll ask Amy about it. She says, you're basically, we've had this secret alliance. We didn't tell you about it. We want you to replace Dawson. I think there's a better way you can pitch an alliance to somebody. What do you think?
Yeah. It's one too. Was it really that secret? Like I thought they'd, cause I feel like Robin made some comments about the Night Owls and stuff too. So it was pitched. You had it right. Like more like being in a sorority or fraternity instead of like, here's the game plan. This is why we have the best team. This is why you want to be on it. And maybe you tell her, don't act like you're in with us. Like, act like you're still neutral. Act like you're the other side. But yeah, it was kind of an interesting way to invite.
This is what I would have done if I was Amy or Stephanie, was I would pitch it as, look, us girls, we got to stick together. We're going to use Nick as the muscle to get rid of those guys. But we want an all women final three. And I would try to make it look like not something like, hey, we've had this exclusive group that you weren't in, and now we want you to join it because we need you. And that was how it was pitched on the show, at least.
Yeah.
Stephanie was funny because she was like, no, that's not what, we don't mean it like that. Like that was poorly phrased.
Yeah. She tried to cover, but the damage was done.
Jordan says, okay, cool. Like I could be in with these people. I'm also in with the other side. She did have to sort of play along with the Night Owls, because if she at this excursion had stood her ground against them in some capacity, and it seemed like she was trying to throw a bone to Rob and Aaron and saying like, why don't you tell us what case you have? And Rob's like, no, can't do that. So I would have been interested to see if they had revealed that case, would that have changed anything of how she would have tried to play it?
Yeah, it's so hard to say. But yeah, you see Jordan trying to reach out to the other teams and talk to them and like get anything and shut down. You know, Stephanie wasn't going to talk to her. Rob wasn't going to talk to her, Aaron, anything. So
now I will say that my main takeaway from this episode is that one of Rob, Aaron, or Jordan is going to win. I think that based off of this edit, this is me as a viewer, I don't think there's any way that the Night Owls recover. They're burying the Night Owls in this edit. That you get the whole scene, they're sitting around and Jordan's talking about, like, I can't stand how much they're talking garbage about people. This is reality TV editing 101. We're supposed to root for Rob's side. And I mean, I'd say we probably were supposed to root for Rob the whole season, the way that everything's been presented. He's the protagonist. And we're supposed to root for Aaron, and now Jordan's kind of emerging in this spot. If I had to guess, I think it's going to be Rob based off of the edit, because I think we're seeing more of the cracks in Aaron's game. And we saw some of that this week. And I feel like we're starting to get an edit now of like Rob's kind of carrying the team. Aaron's not doing too well in these missions. Rob's, you know, putting the team on his back, so to speak. And Jordan hasn't gotten enough airtime. Like, I think she would have been more visible if she was the winner. So that's kind of my main takeaway from this episode.
Okay, I never like to guess at the edit. I always get it wrong. So I'll defer to what you're what you're saying about it. But you're right. Like, Rob, you know, we only see what they feed to us. So Rob's kind of getting the hero edit at this point. So that, you know, that's an indicator that, yeah, I think he's going to go pretty far. I'm shocked he's still around. Like, no one's had a chance to get him out. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been able to take him out. But I will say, like, he was really close to going home this week. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, is this game rigged or whatnot? This episode, there certainly... there was no rig in this episode. I did not see it because, first of all, Rob was left in the very middle, which is the last place that he wanted to be. He was exposed. Mm-hmm. Secondly, they didn't give any personal offer to Nick.
Yeah.
So if they were like, we have got to keep Rob or Aaron or whatever, if you're into that kind of theory, why didn't they make another personal offer here? Because this would make a lot of sense to make a personal offer, because Nick's putting $4 million in that pot. So if you want to get him to accept some kind of deal before you hit that mark, you know, or if a similar type of thing, we want Nick to remove himself from the game. Nick was the biggest threat to Rob, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I mean, he was, because that was kind of Rob's, you know, competition in the more physical challenges and things. So, and I agree with you, they would have made a personal offer if it was more rigged, and you see Nick coming down to like 50-50 odds, you know, the banker didn't have better odds than Nick. Nick didn't have better odds than the banker on the last call on it. So it was, it definitely didn't seem to be rigged this time. And like you said, Rob was it, like, finally somebody could have taken a shot at Rob. It just happened to be one of, you know, the second time, right, that someone got sent home by the banker.
Yeah, the only other times were because Miranda Dawson took personal money. And in Miranda's case, it wasn't a self-eliminate, but it was like a 1-in-4 shot, and she accepted that risk. So, yeah, this is only the second time that someone lost without any kind of personal offer.
Yeah, yep. So it was just Rob skirted by again. He's lucky.
But I mean, I just think, and then the other thing that I think is really interesting in this, there was clearly a conversation that we didn't see, because we get this big confrontation right before, and it was odd because it wasn't precedented by anything. Like, we didn't get any scenes early on where Rob and Stephanie are clashing with each other. We didn't get any kind of foreshadowing with Rob saying, like, I really think Stephanie's a snake. Now, obviously, they've been kind of going after each other for a little bit. And that's been brewing since the first episode, no doubt about it. But there was definitely a conversation we didn't see, because it was all about Rob and Aaron. They wanted Nick out next, which is what Stephanie was claiming. And for whatever reason, we never saw the scene that was them saying that. But we also didn't get the scene of Stephanie, if it wasn't true, Stephanie saying, okay, I'm gonna make up this lie to get Nick, you know, make sure Nick does this. So that was probably the most confusing part of this episode for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way it tracked for me was them showing Stephanie telling Nick, like, Rob's gunning for you and things like that. So, but you don't see how, you know, it just doesn't seem to be that big of a deal until you get to the, you know, you get to the banker and everything. And then this whole thing explodes when they're doing the final deal or no deal.
Like, we got that part, but we didn't get the Stephanie saying, like, oh, well, I don't know if they actually are or not, but I want to make sure Nick's on my side, so I'm going to tell him this. And then we don't get the scene of, like, them talking about gunning for, like, it would have been really interesting if we got something early in the episode that was like, here's who we need out next, Robin.
Yeah.
That was just, like, omitted from the episode, unless it, like, because it definitely, they had to have had that conversation, you'd think. So,
yeah,
that was the thing that was kind of odd to me. I think that 100%, like we said last week, who is Rob going for? We said Nick, because Nick, I think, was probably the greatest object standing in the way of him winning these competitions. And in order for Rob to win the game, like, this is a different game from Survivor, where especially at this point, now you want to, like, win all of the immunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're not at risk. Well, yeah, it keeps you safe through the whole thing. And it's funny how this was the time we heard Rob go, this is a different game than Survivor. I don't need to, like, backstab or blindside like you do in Survivor. So, and I feel like you see Stephanie playing more like you would in Survivor, where she's like, okay, I've got to make up this, you know, and she's just plain aggressive, you know, but she really rubbed Rob the wrong way. So,
yeah. Well, it's funny though, because Rob says I took a different approach, but then you get the different, that's not what Nick is saying, because it seems like I'm going to ask Nick all about this tomorrow and we'll get 15 minutes. I'm really interested. My read on Nick was that he was initially in with Rob, but Rob was doing the thing where he's got to be in control. He's going to tell everyone how they're supposed to play, which is how he has played Survivor. So, like, he's doing the same thing he's done on Survivor, and it wasn't well received. And then I think there's a little bit of, like, an alpha male kind of jockeying for, you know, like, there's a little bit of, like, I'm a mob boss, I can take him out. He's a mob, you know, Rob started out as a Rob father. That was his name on Survivor. So yeah. I think there was a little bit of, like, that. And I don't really get the sense that Rob is taking a very different approach from what I've seen.
Yeah, you're not scrambling to get you, because you don't need everyone to vote. You know, it's just one person that you have to pick. So I get what he's saying as far as, like, you're not having to plot these complex stories that you're trying to plant in people's mind to get paranoid about things. So I think it is a different level than Survivor. A different strategy than Survivor because of that.
No, I think it's a totally different game. I just don't think he's taking a different approach from how he would on Survivor.
Yeah, I feel like he's a little bit, especially in some of the ways that he's helping Aaron and things. Yeah, I don't know. It seems a little bit different version of Rob to me.
Okay. Nick is very much, like you said, we get to see a little more of his personality in this episode. I feel like he's a little more silly than we may have thought. Like, when he's kind of laying out there on the water, he's kind of splashing around. He's talking about being an owl, and he's, like, going to take down the dragon tonight. And then one thing I really enjoyed was, how about this new bromance between Nick and Joe?
I know. It was cute. That's why I was really sad to see Nick go when this happened. I was like, oh man, we're finally seeing Nick, and he seems really fun. He seems to not take himself too seriously. And, you know, and he's, like, bantering back and forth, you know, because some people, you're just so nervous out there and you're just trying to survive that sometimes it's hard for people to just relax and have those funny conversations. And Nick was just doing that and stuff. So I was really bummed that he was going out, because I was like, I want to see more of Nick.
One of my favorite moments was the I played basketball at Brooklyn College, and then he's like, D3 school. And Joe says, I went to Carnegie Mellon. And he's like, I don't know where that is, but that's cool.
I know. I was laughing so hard. Yeah.
Have you heard of Carnegie? Had you heard of either of those schools?
I've heard of Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, right?
That I don't know, actually. I'm West Coast. I believe it's in Pittsburgh.
So. It's a D3 school. I did attend a D3 school for a couple of years. I was at Carthage College before I transferred to Valparaiso University, but there are like a million D3 schools. It's kind
of
funny.
No, that's the thing is like, unless you're in the area, a lot of the ones you just, or you went to a D3 school and you knew, you know, they're in your league or whatever.
Even if you went to a D3 school, like Nick, like they could have played Carnegie Mellon and he might not have remembered.
Yeah.
Just, we played at some team in Pittsburgh in a little tournament.
Yeah. No, he is funny.
So, yeah, I think that's probably my main takeaway is I really think that Amy and Stephanie are in a lot of trouble right now because I look at this. I think Rob getting through this round was so critical for him, and he's got to be the odds-on favorite. Because look at, you know, we're establishing how much of a physical competition this is. Mm-hmm. Rob has got to be the heavy favorite in each of these challenges now, given who's left. We talked about last week how Nick was starting to emerge and he was really being a big rival to Rob in these competitions. But now, I mean, who's going to beat Rob in one of these challenges?
See, well, and it just depends. Like, they try and even out stuff in Survivor where you have some of these ones that are balancing ones or skill games and things like that. I feel like out of everybody's left that's left, you know, Stephanie and Jordan, I feel like you're pretty athletic and pretty cunning on stuff too. I mean, Aaron, it's hard. I feel like he can be like maybe where he's not brute strength, he might be able to outthink some stuff, but he's just off his game.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't like, this episode, like he has a walkie talkie.
Oh no.
He couldn't figure out the walkie talkie. And then he called for the wrong thing. So like the stuff that you'd think he's supposed to, like stuff he should be good at, I don't know. Maybe he's just off his game or what, but.
Yeah. No, it's just one where I don't think, I don't think he's a formidable opponent in all this. So I would say if anybody, like probably Stephanie might be the one to, which is funny because she's going to go head to head with Rob now. He's out to get her. But I think she might be the one that presents the most, you know, physical challenge to Rob at this point.
Yeah. I think you've got, you've got Stephanie and Jordan. I think the situation would be some kind of like big endurance thing. If you have to like on the challenge, they always have to do these finals where they have to run basically a marathon. So something like that. I mean, I think Jordan would probably be really good at that.
Yeah.
Steph would be good at it too. But I mean, I think we don't know what kind of challenges we're going to see, but based off of just the history, Rob's, you know, 25 years on reality television, he's maybe the best challenge performer on any show ever. I'm going to bet on Rob. I think Rob is, at this point, Rob's a heavy favorite to win.
Yeah. No, I think he's got pretty good odds now. It wasn't who I'd pick at the start, but that he's made it this far. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that he would have been done by now. And the interesting thing is that if Miranda, like the last time I think Rob was exposed where he could have gone home, Miranda had the power and she wasn't even going to send Rob out that round. It would have been Alyssa. So
yeah,
he must've done something well there with his, like he must've had a pretty good bond with Miranda that she wasn't going to target him in that spot. So yeah. Anyway, I mean, Rob's playing a great game. And I think at this point, he's going to win. I think next week, Stephanie's going to go out. I think they're really setting up this Rob versus Stephanie at the end of the episode. You get the quote where Rob says, big mistake. Stephanie says, oh, shut up. And then we get to a confessional where Rob says, this is war. If it's the last thing I do, I will make sure Stephanie doesn't win this game. Like that is setting up next episode.
Well, for sure, if Rob or Aaron plays the banker and wins, it's Stephanie. I mean, hands down. Who's Jordan do? Who does Jordan pick if she wins? You know, because then everybody's going to know where she stands.
Yeah, that would be a good outcome. That would be probably the most interesting.
Yeah, because I don't know.
In a situation. Yeah, if she could take a shot And then who has immunity in that case? That would part, yeah, that part of it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, immunity is going to be huge in this one.
This challenge, I was thinking, if we were teammates on this challenge, mm-hmm, I think it's pretty easy who would be doing what activity.
You think, well, so I think I would be the caller.
Yes.
I was going to say.
You would be the caller because you won. We got to give Brooke credit. She won on Survivor as a caller. She led her team to victory. And I would be the driver because I drove all the way across the country to
this get is out true. Here
to Phoenix.
Yes. I know. I wondered, I'm like, do you remember that I won that challenge? That my team won? Yep. That was a funny one. Very funny.
A lot of humility. Brooke's not bringing it up. I brought it up. What's the key to being good at that type of thing with the caller? Just being very clear with the instructions?
Yes. You have to kind of think like the other person. I mean, if they're not getting it, you have to be able to think of another way to say it. Because sometimes you see when someone, like the person that you're calling to, doesn't get it. And the person just repeats the same thing, but louder and more forcefully. And it's like, no, no, no. If they don't get it, you got to think of a different way to say it. And so, yeah, I always like watching those ones because it's just funny to see how different people think. And like Aaron, who's like, oh, yeah, well, it was the third from the right. But he's like, but if you look at the map this way, I'm thinking the right is this way. And so it's just funny how that stuff can happen. Okay, the thing that I maybe missed this in the instructions for it, but could you not get both red suitcases?
That's a good question. I was wondering that too. I thought Rob said that they were going to get both of them, didn't he?
Yeah, but I couldn't remember what he said, but I know
he got lost. So
he did, but he could have grabbed the red suitcase because he was right. He was the first one there. So I don't know why he didn't grab both because then
could he not see because it was out on the water. Maybe he could. Maybe only we could see the cases and he just went for it and grabbed one.
Maybe
that's what I think happened. By the way, I put a hat on because the sun moved and it was making me look funny with the sun thing. So it's blocking the sun out of my eyes. Okay. I love this challenge. And this is like, if we were doing this, not only would I be like, Brooke, you're better at this walkie-talkie thing, but I'd also be dying to drive the ATV.
I was going to say, that was why I hesitated. I'm like, I want to drive. sounds fun. We used to have a four-wheeler on the farm that we would drive around and stuff too. So yeah, so we do have that skill set. But that looked like a really fun one. Plus, I'm like, it's funny. We've been on a couple like, you know, family vacations in the past couple of years. And always it's like, my son wants to do the ATV rides. And I'm like, oh, you got to do this for a challenge. That's great. Most people have to pay to do this on vacation.
And it's not cheap either.
No, it's not. So yeah, no, this looked like a really fun one.
I think that, the other thing is like, I've never driven an ATV, but I'm pretty good on the golf cart. Like I've got a lot of experience driving the golf cart around and driving people around when we play golf. I always like to drive the cart. When we were in Florida 2 months ago, my family decided to rent one of those big golf carts that you can drive on the roads there because the roads are like only 30 miles an hour. So It was funny. Like we had certain members of the family who were a little hesitant to drive it right away because they had never done it on a road. And then like I drove it and someone, I think it was my dad, was like, wow, you were really good driving that thing. I'm like, I've had a lot of experience.
I've been on a lot of golf carts and a lot of golf courses.
Yeah. So I think that would definitely be it. I thought that was a really cool challenge. I like having challenges like this where you have a teammate and it requires some kind of blind trust. Mm-hmm. So this was the worst challenge outcome. And this is, again, I want to say this is why like it was not rigged, because if it was rigged, it would be like, Rob, hey, Rob, go grab that case over here. You're mm-hmm. lost, but he's just going blind and he's taking stuff. He was not happy with Aaron. This was like the most frustrated I've seen Rob on this season, because I think he's been very patient with him.
Yeah, I expected him to get frustrated with Aaron before that, when like especially when Aaron was like just giving up in the challenge and the swamp mm-hmm. and stuff. But this one, yeah, you could see he finally, that's why I'm kind of like, oh, is there some point where Rob's going to be like, you're out, Aaron. I can't keep working with you. So, but I mean, the nice thing for Rob is Aaron's no threat, really. You know, right. He's just so it's great for Rob to be paired up with him because it's not like he's worried about Aaron when you get down to the final end of things.
You know, I was thinking about this. Kim, she got to take out somebody when she won in like the second episode, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And she ended up picking Jameel. And something that Kim made reference to when she was on this show a few weeks ago was that Jameel was Rob's number one guy. Like, I'm pretty sure she said Jameel was like his absolute best friend on there. And then I think when Jameel was gone, Aaron took that place.
Filled that spot.
So I think that if Jameel was still on the show, he'd probably be a greater, you know, challenger in these competitions. And the other thing I didn't know is that Jameel and his sister, they won a game show. They won like a couple hundred, like $100,000 on a game show before. So like he'd be no slouch in these competitions. So I just thought that was interesting because I think that this things may have like, could you imagine if Kim took out Aaron at the start and now Jameel's there and that maybe that tandem's a little tougher to beat.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes sense that we didn't get to see any of that storyline because they're going to edit that out since it didn't go anywhere and just keep with like Aaron being the number one from the get-go.
Yeah. So, okay, let's see. What else do we have from this episode? We've got Jordan is not into the scene with the Night Owls. So the Night Owls in this scene are talking about Rob and Aaron, and she makes a comment about like that's all they talk about. And then we get a couple of scenes of them like sort of laughing and talking about how we're going to get him out. And like I think the most offensive comment here was Amy called them dumb and dumber.
Yeah.
But I've seen it. Look, I want to just make a point here. There's a lot of hatred for the Night Owls online. Everything that I've seen and heard from them, like Stephanie on this show a couple weeks ago, it's all game related. Like they're like, we have got to get Rob out because Rob is going to win if we don't get him out. There's no personal beef with Rob.
Yeah.
So I just want to point that out because I know there's going to be even more hate coming in the way of the Night Owls this week.
Yeah. No, it's like playing sports. There's a certain degree of like, oh, we hate the other team and a little bit of smack talk. It can quickly cross the line, you know, and some of it's not necessary. But so far, nothing is like, so far, it's pretty tame, you know. I mean, the outbursts, you know, when they're with the banker and things, those haven't been fun and haven't been nice. But as far as the comments around camp, it really doesn't seem to be outside the scope of what people do when you're, you know, and you're competing for millions of dollars. Like, it's pretty, like, there's a lot at stake, so...
Yeah, and I think that, like, in defense of the Night Owls, like, they're sitting around and they're talking about who they want out of the game. That's what you do when you're on a competition show. You're stripped of your phones. You only have so much to do. You're this deep in the game. You're talking about what you're going to do next. So, I don't know. I didn't see anything there that was, like, super personal or ugly or nasty. So anyway, my plea to the listeners, there's no need to send hate mail or hate messages. But these people do have thick skin, so they're not being impacted by it, thankfully.
No. Well, and you saw, what was it, the second or third episode where Rob's mocking Amy. You know what I mean? And like, and it's funny and, but it wasn't like, I mean, that was kind of a like, personal thing at Amy and everybody laughed it off. So it goes around. Both sides do it. I don't see anybody as being particularly egregious in this.
Yeah. I laughed at that. I thought that was funny. I thought it was funny when Rob made the comment about Dawson and he's like, I can't remember his name. Is it Dalton? And then Dawson shined a light on that. He actually has two brothers named Dalton and Dylan. And so he's like, once you realize that I have two brothers, like you can't remember our name. So like, that was what happened. And I don't know. I'm having fun with the show. I'm not taking any of it too seriously. And I don't think the cast members are either.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, were you surprised? This was okay. I'll say this. I was shocked that Nick took the deal. Because he says, 9 has always meant a lot to me. It wouldn't let me down. And then he just says, deal.
I know. That's what I thought afterwards. I was like, oh man, does he feel really bad that he went back on, like, you know, the brother's number and stuff? So yeah, I was like, oh shoot. He really, like, should have stuck with, like, it's never let me down. And then he did. So I know. Be interesting to ask him. I mean, obviously, I guess you don't even have to ask. I'm sure he regrets.
Well, I'm going to ask him why he took the deal, because to me, it's either $4.25 or $4.5 million. Mm-hmm. So if this was a regular game of Deal or No Deal, like, and then the offer was 4.417. So that's that is a very good offer. But I guess the thing for me is I'm just thinking, like, either way, that's a crazy amount of money. And then in this case, either way, it's going to be a 50-50 shot. So I'd like to just kind of ride it out with my number here.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you're just betting, like, which suitcase is which. That's all you're trying to figure out, and it's 50-50 odds. So at that point, if you feel like that's your, like, lucky number, magic number, and the last minute you switch and be like, that's the case, you know, it's too bad.
Yeah, I was very surprised that because I thought, I'm like, oh no, what's going to happen is he's going to ride with 9 and then 9's going to let him down. Because I thought he was going to lose based off of the edit of the episode. Mm-hmm. Because I think anytime you get a scene like that where it's like, here's an alliance, they're all kind of laughing, they're cocky, the alliance is going to have a downfall. And that's what I was expecting in this episode. So I'm like, this is not going to go well for Nick. I think Nick's going to lose. They tried to put, like, a little misdirect in there. Ooh, maybe he takes a shot at Stephanie. But I thought it was funny when Aaron says, all right, what do you think's going to happen now? Rob's like, he's still going to get me out.
Yep, I know. So, yeah, they've done a good job. I mean, at least for me, like, I'm always kind of guessing until the last minute, like, which way things are going to go. So it's been, like, I feel like they've done a really good job editing thus far. Like, it hasn't been so predictable that you just know, oh, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. I did feel like this episode was predictable. I felt like, Nick, this isn't going to go well for you. But I thought that 9 was, in fact, going to let him down. So I just was like, I was very surprised that he took the deal. I look forward to asking him tomorrow why he took it. Because either way, like we said, it's a 50-50 shot that it's a good deal if you take it. And then it's a 50-50 shot whether, if you don't take the deal, that your case value is higher than what's left. And this is, again, kind of like, it's kind of funny because if you're Nick, you're probably like, I didn't take a good deal. I took the highest deal value in the history of the show.
I know.
Good deal.
Yep. Well, it's funny. Did you catch the Princess Bride quote?
I did not.
When Joe goes, clearly I cannot choose the cup in front of me. When he's like, I think it was when Nick was trying to decide which case to take or whatever. And so I was laughing about that. I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Missed that one. I've seen that movie like once and it wasn't my favorite.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
I'm not like, okay, so I'm not a big fantasy fan. So like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, like I'm not into those. Like,
yeah, I'm not as much either, but Princess Bride is just such a classic. I feel like you watch as a kid and then, I don't know, sticks with you. It's got a little bit of everything. But anyway, that I was laughing at Joe's reference on that. It's funny because Joe's pretty witty. It's been, you know, it's been fun to watch that. And so...
Yeah, I'm telling you, he looked sad when Nick lost. Like, it was like, did they get beers afterwards? Like, they seemed like they had become best friends. They're talking with each other. Joe looks so sad. He's busting his chops about the man pearls. It was great.
I was going to say, do we think that Joe will show up with man pearls next episode in honor of Nick? Because I would really love to see that. I think that would be great.
That was great.
Nick should have left him his man pearls.
What's the, like, history of the man pearls? Like, is that like a...
I feel like Harry Styles might have been the first one to do that, where he kind of is like, non-gender conforming clothes, like, and he would wear pearls quite a bit. I just know my daughter is my oldest is obsessed with Harry Styles, and that was her first concert she went to. 13, we took her for her 13th birthday, and Harry Styles wears pearls a lot. So that's how I know that. So I think he was one of the first that started that trend.
Because Jock Peterson, Major League Baseball player, he was wearing them. All of a sudden, he just started wearing them a few years ago, and it was after he got traded to the Braves. And Jock's just kind of like an odd guy, and it was kind of like they ended up winning the World Series that year. So that was like the first time I remember seeing it. That was like 3 years ago. Are they in now? Like, am I doing something wrong not wearing the man pearls? Or
I think you've got to have the persona. I feel like Nick pulled it off. I feel like Harry Styles pulled it off. So just, Jack, I don't know if it's quite your style.
I don't think so.
But if you show up next podcast wearing man pearls, we'll see.
There's a 0% chance of that. Unless someone mails them to me. If they just showed up on my door, I'd be like, okay, that's kind of fun. I'll wear these.
All right, I'm going to message Nick. He needs to send you some man pearls.
All right, let's see. What else from your notes, Brooke?
Oh, let's see. Just that Rob's like, we're going to war, Stephanie. And this is one of the things, though, that I said is that you, like, eyes on the prize. Don't let your annoyance with someone else take your focus away. Like, you know, when he says he's going to, like, make sure she gets out, that's where you end up with making mistakes and getting out yourself, is that instead of taking out strategically who should be the next person, you go for the person who's annoying you, who wronged you or whatever. And so that's the part where I do see that is like Rob making that threat. I'm like, oh, you're a little off your game because you're now targeting her. And when that may not be your best move.
Yeah. Is this something that is related to the Alyssa Stephanie friction there from a couple weeks ago, Aaron being upset about that? Aaron probably isn't too fond of Stephanie at this point in the game. Is this like a, hey, maybe Rob thinks if I get Stephanie out of here, that could re-energize Aaron?
I think it's a buildup. I think there's little things that got him to that point, but from the edit, I think it was Stephanie making up kind of lying to Rob about, Stephanie lying to Nick about Rob saying stuff. And I think Rob was just like, that crosses the line. That was what I think the straw that broke the camel's back for Rob. That's the impression I got.
Any other things you observed or noticed within that Rob and Stephanie confrontation?
No, just that was almost got worse than the Alyssa one, I feel like. It's just Aaron wasn't getting as much anxiety about that one. They just didn't show Aaron as much. Who knows? We'll see I want to see what the aftermath is when they go back to camp. That's going to be another, like, I'm excited for the next episode to see what happens there. So,
yeah, she did say something to Aaron, which is along the lines of, like, do you want to, like, speak up for yourself for once, kind of thing like that. That was a choice.
I was going to say, it wasn't doing any favors to then, like, kind of come at Aaron that way either. Like, you know, it's just, yeah, it's hard. You've got to really learn to kind of bite your tongue about certain things to not make way. Like, you see Jordan, everybody likes Jordan.
Didn't Rob instigate this fight? Didn't Rob start it up? Like, he was kind of making a pitch to Nick, like trying to save face in some regard and stir up tension. And then Nick looks so annoyed during the whole thing.
Yeah. It's one where, I mean, yeah, it was definitely between Rob and Stephanie. Nick wasn't even getting into it and didn't seem to care who, like, if Rob had said it or not. It didn't seem to matter to him one way or the other. But I don't recall how it started.
I think it was another one of Rob's tactics where Kim made a comment about, like, you know, oh, like, you know, like, I'm gonna kick your butt, and like, he's like, I took that personal.
Yeah.
And then Rob's like, haha, I'm like stirring the pot and getting people against her. And then the same thing when Kim made a comment about Rob and Claudia, mm-hmm. And then Alyssa went back, and Alyssa, according to Kim, added to what she said. It wasn't a correct depiction of what was said. Mm-hmm. Rob wasn't actually that sensitive about it, according to Kim.
Yeah.
Rob was just like, hey, here's another reason to stir the pot. So I think that's what this was.
Yeah. It's hard to tell because it seemed like he really lost his anger, but I think we'll see afterwards whether this was just him causing drama because he knows that Stephanie's a threat and wants her out and that's why he's doing it, or if he really did kind of lose his temper about it. But it seemed to me like he lost it.
I love the part though where it was like, you know, there's always a little bit of like a mob boss with Rob where the whole like he's looking over to Nick and he's like, Nick, never, never.
You can do the accent.
You got two accents here, and oh man. Okay, well, Nick, good fight. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow. I've got a lot of questions, plenty that we'll address. Brooke, anything else?
No, I think that's it. My question, do we know how many episodes are left?
There's got to be, I think there's 12. I think we got three left.
Three left, that's about next what I week, was guessing. So.
Next week, the plan is that we're going to have a guest on our recap with us, and that will be Mr. Karsten Bergy Bergerson from Love Island Season 5, but better yet, from Season 2 of The Traitors. So Bergy is a listener of this show, a friend of mine, and he's also a big Deal or No Deal Island fan, so it'll be fun to get his thoughts on all of this.
Yes, excited to meet him.
So, all right. Well, Brooke, thank you so much for your time today. Lots of fun. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that concludes my conversation with Brooke Struck, breaking down the latest episode of Deal or No Deal Island. And man, did the sun move. I was about an hour ago, I could not believe how good my natural lighting looked. And now it looks horrible. So I am going to make sure that tomorrow when I tape the exit interview and Deal or No Deal Island Insiders, that it does not look like this. So we will be back later in the week, as I mentioned. So this is running on Tuesday. This is our recap episode. Wednesday, we'll have our exit interview with Nick. I've got a lot that I want to ask him. I want to know why he took the deal. I want to get his thoughts on the Rob and Steph confrontation. Was he in fact going to target Rob? I'm pretty sure he was, but we got to ask the question. Was Rob targeting Nick? Was there something that got lost in there? One of the other things I was curious about, did he try to tank some of the challenges early on so that he wouldn't get blood on his hands or be perceived as a big threat? Was he intentionally not giving his absolute best to try to win those challenges? I would love to know. So Nick will join me in the morning and we will ask him these questions and we will we will get some answers. It should make for a great conversation. And then later in the week, we've got Amy joining Miranda and myself for the latest edition of Deal or No Deal Island Insiders. We'll give you an inside look at this episode. I'm sure Amy's going to have a lot to say. I don't think she's done very many interviews quite yet, and the edit is only showing, you know, so much. I'm sure she'd love to talk about some things that maybe weren't shown, provide more of an inside look at the episode. So I very much look forward to speaking with her for the first time. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the Jack Vita Show here on YouTube. I think about 80% of our listeners are subscribed. Hit subscribe, turn on those notifications so you don't miss out on what we have coming up next. And then you can also follow me at Jack Vita Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Brooke is not on social media. Well, she does have Facebook, but she's not on Twitter or Instagram. Otherwise, we'd be putting out her socials. So you guys just follow me at Jack Vita Show. And until our conversation, our exit interview with Nick, I'm Jack Vita. Bring in the dancing lobsters.